This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening, this is the Sheffield United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. My name is Miles Blumsome. I'll be with you for the next half an hour talking all things Sheffield United. 0208 70 20 558 is our number here at Love Sport Radio. Give us a call or drop us a message on WhatsApp. You can also tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Sheffield United, are they going to finish in the European places? Who would have thought that at the start of the season? Who would have thought that 2 years ago when Sheffield United were in League One? Madness. Sixth in the Premier League. 5 points off Chelsea, who are in fourth. I'm not just talking Europa League here as well. I am talking Champions League places. Sheffield United have been very consistent through this season. Chelsea have been wobbling. Tottenham have been inconsistent above them. They're the two teams between Sheffield United and the height, the lofty area of the Champions League next season. Absolutely incredible. Incredible. And now able to bring in talented players like Sander Berg. Sander Berg, this is a Norwegian super talented youngster who was wanted by the elite clubs. The elite clubs wanted Sander Berg, and he's come to Sheffield United. He's come to Sheffield United to play for Chris Wilder, because he believes that's the system that's right for him. He started yesterday. Of course he did. He went straight into the team. We're joining me now for the Sheffield United Fan Show is the Travelling Blade. Travelling Blade, Mr. Blade, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thanks, mate. Not too bad. Cheers.
I mean, yesterday, it did take a goalkeeper error, but yep. Doesn't matter, does it? It's a 1-0 away win in the Premier League, and Sheffield United's away form continues.
I mean, after that, we're now unbeaten in London this season. I think we've drawn with all the other teams and then beat Palace yesterday. I actually think it was a bit of a steal on our behalf. I think we were second best for large parts of it. But then, although Palace got into some very dangerous places and positions with some teasing, inviting balls into the box, they didn't really make much of them, whereas we were quite opportune, you know, opportunists ourselves. We struggled to create ourselves, but I mean, he's had a good season, the Palace keeper. Is it Gaeta or something?
Gaeta.
And, curled in from Norwood. I think it went down as an own goal.
Yeah, well, he dropped it in. I don't know. Yeah. There's not much more of an own goal you can score, I don't think, than catching it and pretty much walking it into the goal.
I thought it might have been curling in itself from Norwood anyway. So, I think it was one of those games where I think it's like a mark of a good team where even if you can win, you can sort of win ugly as well, and even if you don't have to play that well, and you might have to win ugly a few times, which Liverpool have done a few times this season as well. I think it's like a mark of a good team that are doing well.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's bring in James Shield as well, Sheffield United correspondent and football writer for the Sheffield Star. James, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm as good as gold, and you? Thank you.
Excellent. We're just talking to the Travelling Blade about how it wasn't the best performance from Sheffield United, but it got across the line. It took a goalkeeping error. That is what happens when your luck is in, though. You look at a team like Norwich City, who are playing really well, but they're bottom of the league and they're not being able to get results. They're not getting those strokes of luck. Sheffield United up in sixth, 5 points off the Champions League places. I know it sounds crazy, but Tottenham and Chelsea haven't been consistent. There's no reason why Sheffield United can't close that gap.
No, you're absolutely right. And you know what? I think yesterday, I think it's fair to say Sheffield United earned their own luck, actually, because you're quite right. It was a goalkeeping error. You know, there's no point in trying to dress that up. But it was a really, really tactically disciplined performance from Sheffield United. And as you were saying, it wasn't the prettiest. You know, it wasn't them sort of at their fluent best. But they stuck to the game plan that they devised. Crystal Palace did well, and they frustrated them, and they clearly done their homework on the way that Sheffield United plays well. But Sheffield United stuck to what they do. They stuck to the game plan that they devised. And I think that obviously almost built up a little bit of pressure and frustration in Crystal Palace's ranks, because they'd seen a lot of the ball. They had a good attacking threat through Zaha and Ayew, as you would expect. But it's that attention to detail, isn't it? You know, and big games swing on these tiny little details, as we're so often told, and we hear managers say. And I think when you obviously fifth as they were, six now in the Premier League table, every game is every Premier League fixture is a big one for Sheffield United at the moment. But I think it was that sort of tactical discipline and that maturity that they showed that meant that little bit of luck that they did get, was so sort of definitive.
Travelling Blade, going into the start of the season, even in your wildest dreams, you can't have imagined that the season would be going this well in February.
Definitely not. I feel quite bad for underestimating Chris Wilder, and, well, not just Chris Wilder, but Chris Wilder, Alan Neil, the players themselves as well, including Prince Abdullah, with that can achieve. I mean, I remember thinking, oh, we should get just below, like, lower mid-table, and I thought maybe I'm being a bit too optimistic. I mean, would people say where you're going to finish? I'd say 15th. And I felt like I was being defiant by saying that, and people like, oh, are you really sure you're not going to get relegated? You know, even just saying 15th, I felt like quite optimistic with that. So to be, well, sixth at the minute and in February, it was quite ridiculous. Then I feel quite guilty for underestimating, like I said, not just Chris Wilder, Alan Neil, the players themselves, as well as the owners, that who was followed up on his promises of supporting Chris Wilder. I mean, he mentioned about being patient with him, but he's not had to be in any circumstances. We've not had a run of bad results at all to be patient to sit through and be patient with. But financially, in the transfer window, as we've just seen, he supported Chris Wilder. So overall, in every aspect of the club, I mean, even like the small things, like our media team on Twitter has gone up another level this season. It seems like every single aspect of the club is outperforming what even the most optimistic Blades would have dreamt. I mean, like, even like what seemed now was quite meagre, modest, almost pessimistic predictions, such as mine, 15th. They were, you know, these were getting earmarked as delusional by fans of other clubs beforehand.
James, what do you think about that? Delusional 15th at the start of the season? It seems delusional for the other reasons now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I wouldn't feel guilty, because I think, you know, everybody thought it might be a little bit of a slog this season. And, you know, there were good reasons for thinking that, weren't there? Because by and large, you know, the teams that spend the most money or have the biggest resources and the most top flight experience are, you know, they do tend to be the ones who perform the best. So I don't think you've got any reason to feel guilty. I don't think any of us sort of, you know, who sort of follow the club, either that be sort of in the media or up and down the country on the terraces or on the radio from afar, I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams thought it would be this good. But the one thing that sort of really impressed me is, and, you know, we've seen a good transfer window, you know, and as just been mentioned, I think they've really sort of strengthened the squad and given themselves a competition for places that they didn't have at the start of the season, and over the course of a campaign sort of could become a little bit of a concern. So they've addressed that. But the one thing that's really impressed me is just how, I think, you know, the players that have been there a long time, the players that got promoted out of League One in some instances, and certainly the ones who got promoted out of the Championship last year, have grown, and they've, you know, they've become better players themselves. Because one of the features of the season so far is that you haven't seen Sheffield United getting results by sort of, you know, huge strokes of luck or sort of hanging on in games by their fingertips, if you know what I mean. Pretty much every result they've had this season has been deserved, it's been warranted, and I think they have become a much sort of tactically mature side. And as Travelling Blaze just touched on there as well, I think the other really important thing is off the pitch as well. Going into the Premier League with the riches that brings and the the global coverage that comes with having top flight status in this country. It presents a wonderful opportunity for football clubs, and very often you see clubs come up and they don't really take that opportunity because, you know, these things are cyclical, aren't they? Sheffield United won't always be on and up. You know, results won't always be as good at this and as good as this, and that's not a criticism, that's just a fact of life, that's football. So what you've got to do is, I think, when times are good, you've got to really build, give yourself a framework and a bed of resources, if you know what I mean, to make sure that when results and sort of situations become a little bit tougher, you don't drop as far as the club has done in the past. And I certainly think that's what they've done. They've recognised the opportunity on the pitch and, just as importantly, off it.
Just mentioned about resources there. Travelling Blade, Jack Rodwell, bought in January, still no sign of him. Is this a player that's actually going to play for Sheffield United at any point, or do you think he's just there to make up the numbers in training?
I mean, I think he played in the FA Cup game against Fylden. I mean, we've got another FA Cup game. We're already out, obviously, the League Cup's gone to the final, the FA Cup. He might feature in some of them. I think Chris Fowler, some of his signings, you know, he has, I don't want to say he hits and misses, he has some players that come in and become like future stars, like John Flett, where he has others that come in who, you know, I think we signed, it's a very low risk signing with this. It might work out and he might be brilliant, or he might just be there to function as squad depth, which I think is probably how it's going to go. Hopefully we don't get too many injuries at the back, but I mean, even then, we've just signed Retsos as well, who's more defensive cover. So we've got Phil Jagielka as well. So I think even then, even in terms of defensive cover, he's down the pecking order. I can't see him featuring much. He might play in the odd cup game here and there. But, you know, as Chris Wilder always says, he's got in, you know, he's not frightened to make decisions. So if Jack Rodwell does prove to be good enough to displace the likes of Chris Basham, then he will play him, even though Chris Basham is like the stalwart fans' favourite. If Jack Rodwell does prove to be better, which I can't see happening as of yet, but stranger things have happened, he will play him. But speaking now, I can't see him featuring much at all. It might be a similar case to Ravel Morrison, who we've just offloaded on loan to Middlesbrough.
Yeah, that was interesting. The Ravel Morrison lifeline is almost a very similar situation. Jack Rodwell coming in, being given a lifeline. Ravel Morrison was given a lifeline. Now he's on loan back in the Championship at Middlesbrough. It was almost just like his ticket back to England, wasn't it? Just giving him a chance. Yeah. Oh, you come home. You can train with us. You can sit here for a bit, and then we'll send you off. Up next, I do want to talk a little bit more about the game. So I want to talk about the big signing, the big news that came out of Sheffield United in the last week. Sander Berg, because he did start, got 68 minutes before Lundstrom came in for him. We'll be talking about that next. This is the Sheffield United Fan Show. I'm joined by the Travelling Blade and James Shields, Sheffield United correspondent and football writer for the Sheffield Star. It's just coming up to 9:15 on Love Sport.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
That's right, it's the Sheffield United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio through until 9:30. My name is Miles Blumsom, filling in for Matt Beadle tonight on your Sunday evening. Call us, Sheffield United fans. 0208 70 20 558 is the number. You can also WhatsApp us on that number or tweet us at Love Sport Radio if you've got something to say. I want to talk about Sander Berg. Are you happy with the signing? You must be. He's supposed to be one of the biggest up-and-coming stars, the young Norwegian. I'm joined by James Shield, Sheffield United correspondent and football writer for the Sheffield Star, and of course the legend, the Travelling Blade as well. James, this signing is a real statement of intent from Sheffield United, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a real coup. When you look at some of the clubs that were linked with Sander before he turned up at Bramall Lane, obviously, you know, I mean, Napoli was the one that I believe showed the greatest amount of interest in him. And you know, if you'd have said at the start of the season that Sheffield United would be beating Napoli
and Man United,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, well. I think they thought he turned up there until it turned out to be a 15-year-old goalkeeper, didn't it? Instead, it just goes to show how mad transfer deadline day can be. But no, it is. It's a real, real statement of intent from Sheffield United. And I think, to be fair to them as well, they've won the day with Sander because they just show persistence and sort of patience. They first went in for him in the summer. I think it was always going to be a stretch to get him then because obviously Genk were going into the Champions League. But if I can just say, going back to the point that was being made about Jack Rodwell, and I think it is fair to say possibly he won't feature as much as perhaps he would have liked or he would like between now and the end of the season. The big, big thing for me, and I think you saw this yesterday, was when Sander Berge came off, John Lundstram, who is the player who looks as if he's going to have most to fear from his presence at Bramall Lane, came on and delivered the type of performance for 20 minutes that we've not seen from him for a month or so. That was John Lundstram back to his best, I thought, yesterday. So, you can see there the type of impact and the type of effect that bringing in top quality players, top calibre players, how that just ekes out even greater levels of performance from those who ordinarily possibly aren't in the starting 11. So it raises standards throughout the squad, and that's just where I think it's so important.
With Sander Berge, how did he play yesterday as well? Travelling Blades, starting with you. How do you think he got on in his debut? 68 minutes, two days after signing.
I mean, I was glad to see him start. I think sometimes managers sign a player and sort of try and keep him back or bring him on as a sub, whereas Wilder's definitely not afraid to have signed someone and then 2 days later play him in a very tough away game away at Selhurst Park in the starting 11. And from what I saw of the match, I actually saw the team, Sheffield United Twitter tweeted out today that Sander Berge, as he plays more like a CDM kind of role, made five out of five tackles more than any other player on the pitch, which I think is very impressive, not just considering our own midfielders and defenders, but the wealth of talent that Crystal Palace boasts as well. There was a few times here and there where, once or twice, where he might have been a bit sort of bullied off the ball a bit, but then again, he's still only 21. And I remember one of the reporters saying, like, oh, you'll have to get used to that. But there's no shame in that, really. There's not much shame in that going to Crystal Palace, who yesterday I thought played a very good physical game, pressed us really hard, always in our faces. So there's not much shame in having one or two occasions where he seemed to be pushed off the ball. But apart from that, I thought he held his own very well. He seemed to deal with it. There'd be times where he'd have several players closing him down, and he dealt with the pressure very well, got himself out of trouble, maintained possession, just kept things ticking over, distributing it. And I'm hoping that a few Sheffield United fans might remember, Paul Coutts, if he can be our next, what Paul Coutts was towards in League One and in the start of the Championship campaign, if he can be like that for us now in the Premier League, then that would be absolutely perfect, because I don't think we've really ever had another midfielder that's been so influential as much as Paul Coutts in that kind of way. You know, not really pinging it 30 yards or scoring that many goals, but just keeping everything ticking over, doing the dirty work, and just making it more cohesive up front, allowing our other players like Norwood, more of a luxury player, and Lys Mousset to play to their best potential, because hopefully this is what happens with Sander Berge, because they've done all the dirty, gritty, no-nonsense work that doesn't get as much as praise or highlights because it's not as flash, but it's just as important.
I think what you saw as well yesterday was, I mean, obviously, you track the player on sort of video. I mean, clearly I don't live in Belgium, so I haven't seen him in the flesh every week. But,
no.
I've got friends there, and you spoke to them. They were sending us little clips of him through sort of via email before the game. And I think it's fair to say that wasn't a vintage Sander Berge performance yesterday, but
no,
that's absolutely to be expected. One, because the Premier League, I think, is so much quicker than the Jupiler League in Belgium. So he's going to have to get used to that. And there were a few little miscommunications early on in the game. Those are to be expected. That isn't a criticism. But I think the one thing that you did see was the football intelligence that a £22 million player brings to a team, because the way Sheffield United play, and in particular that position that he's stepped into, which is a new position for him as well, I think the fact that he's clearly been able to grasp that to sort of such an extent that the coaching staff felt comfortable putting him in the starting 11, goes to show that not only have they got a really technically strong player, and I think, you know, I mean, he was actually physically bigger than I sort of thought he would be, you know, when you actually see him in the flesh. But I think what it showed as well was there's a player there who's obviously got a lot of tactical acumen and can grasp sort of how different systems and how different things work on a football pitch. So you don't just get a good footballer, you know, you could see that, don't you? You get a good thinker as well. You get a clever player.
Let's look ahead to the Bournemouth game, because we are heading into the Premier League winter break, which is weird. It's staggered fixtures. So Sheffield United do have a fixture next weekend. On Sunday, on the 9th, they are hosting Bournemouth at Bramall Lane. This isn't an easy tie, but Bournemouth have struggled a bit recently. A good win yesterday. Travelling Blade, how do you see the game going? Sheffield United must be the favourites.
I mean, I think, yeah, we are probably going to be the favourites. I mean, not least because we're at Bramall Lane and we always seem to be especially more comfortable at Bramall Lane. When we go away, we often seem quite nervous in the last few weeks. So we've got the home advantage, which does genuinely help our players. But we're now getting into that part of the season now, and if you just look below us, it is still very tight, and it is becoming, if not has already become, quite a dogfight from basically a few places below us towards the bottom of the table. And I think, like, there was something that might have been yesterday or the other week where Newcastle drew and jumped from 14th to 10th, and it is so close now. And Bournemouth are going to be eyeing that up, and, you know, it's not been a great season for them in a lot of respects. They've had a few injuries, like David Brooks, our old player, that's limited their attacking options, and I think has cost them. So I think then really going to think right now it is becoming that do or die time, and the fact that it is so close in that league, and one point or 3 points either way can have like seismic changes in the league table. So they're going to see, I think it's going to give them a lot of hope in thinking, look, if we can just get a point, that can help us towards safety. It's not the start of the season now. Everyone's seen us many times. We're getting a lot of media coverage about the way we play. We run our socks off. It's hard work, but there's also a nice portion of talent in there as well. So they know it's going to be a hard game. They're going to be up for it. It's coming into that do-or-die time now, where teams like Bournemouth are going to start into maybe have to fight for their lives. Eddie Howe coming under a little bit of pressure this season. Bournemouth fans, I think they're in some sort of like identity crisis over the last season or so. Not sure, are they happy to be where they are given where they were, or they are wanting a bit more now? So it could work in their favour where they're really up for it, or the pressure might get to them and they could crumble. I just think if we approach it, regardless of how Bournemouth approach it, just keep cool heads, don't get complacent. If something goes wrong, don't panic. We should be fine, but it's going to be, it's a cliche, a tricky fixture, but I think, a lot of it depends. I think we'll play the same way either way. A lot of it depends on which Bournemouth side turn up.
James, what do you see this Bournemouth team bringing to the table next weekend? Do you think that they will have that fight that Travelling Blade's talking about? Will they start fighting for their lives? They've just climbed out of the relegation zone, but they could quite easily find themselves back in it at the end of next weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I think this is going to be quite a tough game, actually, to be honest, because if Bournemouth aren't fighting for their lives with the situation that they're in now, then Eddie Howe's got bigger problems than he thinks he has. They will be up for this, and it will be a tough game. And there's pressure on Sheffield United as well now, because I think it's gone beyond the stage where you can talk about free hits, if there ever is such a thing. You know, when I say free hit, I mean in terms of, just being glad to be where they are in the table. Make no mistake, although they might admit it publicly, that squad will be damn determined to make sure they get in the Europa League next season. And as ridiculous as that sounds, they will want to do it. So there is pressure on them, as there is it on Sheffield United, as it is on Bournemouth, for different reasons. The thing that really impresses me, though, actually, if you scroll all the way back to the first weekend of the season, and Sheffield United drew with Bournemouth, late equaliser from Billy Sharp. And there were periods in that game, although I think some of us perhaps forget it now, where that was a bit of a slog for Sheffield United, that game. And you saw quite sort of a starry-eyed team coming into the league. Again, absolutely understandable. The thing that concerned me actually a little bit coming away from that game was there were times when Bournemouth actually seemed to sort of out-muscle Sheffield United in that game and just sort of run through them. And Bournemouth aren't what you would consider to be a physical Premier League side. But it did just go to show how much physically bigger players in the Premier League are. I think the days, I've said this before, of the Football League being physically tougher but not technically as good as the Premier League, I think those have long gone. I think the Premier League now is physically tougher and technically better, as you would expect. But, you know, whatever happens in this game on Sunday, the one thing that I just think Sheffield United can take so much heart from is when you look at the progression of the club from that first weekend of the season to now, how they've developed mentally, physically and technically, and also in terms of the competition within that squad, I just think they can be really proud of what they've done.
James, what do you think the score is going to be next weekend?
I'm going to go for a tight and maybe slightly nervy 2-1 win for Sheffield United.
Travelling Blade and yourself?
I'm going to go for a very hard-earned, maybe unrepresentative 2-0 win for United. I think we'll keep a clean sheet.
There's nothing wrong with confidence. Thank you so much, James Shields, Sheffield United correspondent and football writer for the Sheffield Star, and of course the Travelling Blade, for joining me this evening on the Sheffield United Fan Show. That's it for Sheffield United. So next time there's a Sheffield United Fan Show next week, this time 9 o'clock next Sunday night, Matt Beadle will be back to host it. Up next, after half past, oh, it's half past now, but up next, after the break, we're going to be doing the Swansea City Fan Show. I'm going to be joined by Ryan Pridmore from the Ambition is Critical podcast and Stephen Carroll from the Jackcast. I'm Miles Blumsome. This is Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.